Hello and welcome to Top of the Progs on Smile Radio, and also in association with broadcasting on Progzilla Radio. You're currently listening to Catherine Parr by Rick Wakeman. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
Bit of Catherine Parr there from Rick Wakeman's debut solo album, 1973's The Six Wives of Henry VIII. Now, it's kind of one of those weird ones. He's got an album before it called, like, Piano Vibrations from 71 or something. But this is, it's the first big Rick Wakeman prog album, is The Six Wives of Henry VIII. I really enjoy all this solo stuff. Anyway, hello and welcome to Top of the Progs on Smile Radio, and also in association with and broadcasting on Progzilla Radio. Now, I've always loved the Rick Wakeman solo tracks. It's been one of those kind of weird things for me, where it's a lot of people, it's a very Marmite, his solo stuff. A lot of people just see it as mindless twiddling. A lot of classical musicians kind of slate Rick Wakeman's solo stuff as well. They say that he's just ripping off famous classical riffs and motifs and packaging it as his own music. And yes, while there are some elements where you can clearly hear where he's been inspired by classical music, I think one of the great things about his music was that he was able to make it accessible for the younger generation, regardless of whether, you know, he was borrowing a certain theme from Tchaikovsky or something like that. He presented it in such a way where teenagers and people my age and people like my dad's age when he was a teenager absolutely went wild for it, which wouldn't have happened otherwise. But anyway, I love Rick Wakeman's solo stuff. Next up, we've got a little bit of Camel with, I think, one of their most underrated tracks of all time, with from their album I Can See Your House From Here. Now, I don't know if any of my fellow Progzilla presenters can enlighten me to what I'm missing out on here, but it says online that the album cover with the astronaut on the cross in space is a reference to a joke that was popular at the time in the late 70s with Jesus saying I can see your house from here or something like this. It's lost on me, but it's a great album, and this song in particular is one of my favourite Camel tracks. It has what I believe one of the finest keyboard solos of all time. It's very new wavy, it's very kind of modern for its time, and this is one of my favourites. This is Wait by Camel.
Yeah.
That's one of my all-time favourite Camel tracks, that. It's just, the opener grabbed me straight away when I was, I kind of was discovering Camel. I think it was around 2021 when I was kind of, I had the Snow Goose album when I was a teenager, and I always enjoyed it, but I don't know, there was just something missing. Like, I could feel that it was great music, and it was all instrumental. Maybe that was it. It was all instrumental, but I don't know, there was just a piece missing in the Camel thing. And then I think it was the Breathless album, funnily enough, was the one I heard next. I think I just stumbled upon that through like a random playlist on YouTube that was like the best progressive rock or something. I used to listen to those a lot when I was younger. And Echoes from Breathless came on, and I thought, wow, this is absolutely amazing. I need to hear the rest of this. And I heard that album, and I think Andy Latimer has such a gift with melody. I think that's his biggest strength as a writer, is that his melodies are just fabulous, and even to this day he is able to come out with some of the greatest melodies of all time, like, you know, since the Snow Goose, and every track he comes out with a melody that is so unique and so different and so explicitly Camel. Yes, like, technically he's not the best singer in the world, but and he doesn't really, you know, like, he doesn't do these amazing, powerful vocals that, you know, kind of, that send chills down your spine, but the melodies he sings are just so powerful and so impactful that it makes for such great and unique listening. It's just that Camel sound is the good melodies. Now, next up, we've got something different from Elton John, funnily enough. This is one of his biggest hits that is also bizarrely one of the weirdest songs of all time. There's a great interview with Elton, I think it's on a Thames television programme from the late 1970s, early 1980s, where he's talking about how he wrote this song. And he said he sat down at the piano one night and he was thinking about the moment of death. And in his eyes, the moment of death, your spirit leaves your body and flies away. And he was thinking about what that must feel like. And he wrote this piece and he didn't really know what to call it. And he went into the offices at Rocket Records, his record company, the next day, and he found out that one of the kind of messenger boys had died in a scooter crash at the exact same time he was writing that song, and his name was Guy. So he thought, right, this is Song for Guy. It's one of his best tracks. It's a mostly instrumental song, but he just packs so much feeling and so much powerful emotion into this piece. This is Song for Guy by Elton John. That is one of my favourite songs of all time. That, like, I have no shame in saying that that's probably my favourite Elton John song, because it's just so powerful and so original and kind of so special, especially with the kind of the song and the meaning behind it. It's just one of those tracks that's just pure magic, and it's so oddball and off the wall. Like, that kind of drum loop that's going on throughout it is so childish. It's so kind of, not stupid, but it's like a bit ridiculous and so repetitive, yet it never gets old for that whole 7 minutes. There's a great story about the track where Elton says that he wanted to put it out as a single, and they put it out as a single in the UK and it was a big hit, but the American record company didn't want to touch it. They thought it was stupid. Like, why is this the single? Why don't you just give us another one of your classic tracks, Elton? Why are you giving us this? But they eventually relented, and it's rightfully so, I believe. It's one of his biggest hits. There's a celebrity involved in that. Well, there's a celebrity story involved in that song, which I am probably going to butcher the pronunciation of this person's name quite severely. But on Spotify, when you listen to a track, there's that kind of section at the bottom where it's like it says like, oh, the story behind the song, basically. And yeah, there's a great story behind the song where he meets some famous fashion designer who is also gay, like Elton John, and he goes up to Elton and he said, Elton, that song, your latest single, I love it. It's the bravest song of all time. It's the bravest song ever written. I can't believe how courageous you're being. And Elton thought, wow, this is nice. He's probably just flattering me. You know, he's been really nice. And he later found out that this fashion designer misheard the title and thought it was called Song for a Gay. But I just thought that's one of those hilarious stories. Anyway, next up we have some new prog from Shadows on Mercury. I remember a few weeks back I played track one of their EP, The Silence. The new single has dropped. It's the project by Tim Lofthouse, Scott Owens and Charlie Brummel, two of the members of Ghost of the Machine, plus Scott's amazingly talented keyboard player, next door neighbour, Arranger Guy. This is the next single from their EP. This is called The Flood. The phone.
to the blood. Succumb to the flood.
I love the acoustic guitar in that track. It's just an absolutely lovely song. The acoustic guitar part's got that really cool thing going where it's got an anchor note. It's got that one constant note going through all the chords, and it kind of adds that kind of cool ethereal kind of sound. Love the keyboards on that. Love the guitar solo. Of course, the vocals are excellent. It's just a very well produced, very well written, and very well rounded, and just an all round great track. That coupled with The Silence, a couple of great tracks. I like how well they contrast each other, like the two completely different songs. Like The Silence has got that kind of big modal thing going on. It's got that kind of futury, post-apocalyptic kind of vibe going on, and The Flood is more of kind of laid back, kind of, you know, just kind of chilled out groove thing going on, with a great guitar solo and some great synth string pads and great vocals throughout. Now, last week for the Top of the Progs Valentine's Day special, I played a track from Stevie Wonder's Secret Life of Plants album. And this week I thought I couldn't resist playing another one. Now, this song in particular is, I just think, the more I hear it, is one of the finest female vocals that's ever been put down on a song. I looked into who it was that sang it, and it was Stevie Wonder's ex-wife. Basically, he was, I think it was in around 1970, he married one of the receptionists at Motown, who then became a backing singer and had her own successful career, and they used to write songs together. They divorced in 1971, but they would still occasionally collaborate and work together throughout the 1970s, and she would occasionally add input to Stevie's tracks, and Stevie would write songs for her and things like that. But on this song, Stevie brought her in to sing it, and she gives what I believe to be one of the greatest vocal performances of all time. This is Come Back as a Flower by Stevie Wonder.
Rain, my sweet, was in the air.
the vocal on that is just—it's just absolutely incredible. Like the fretless bass as well, doing all those slides. It's just one of those kind of perfect tracks where everything just fell into place really nicely, and it creates—I don't know—it creates something fascinating that's just so kind of otherworldly. It's such a weird lyrical point, but you know, it's part of the concept album, The Secret Life of Plants. It's such a weird lyrical concept coming back as a flower, but he just owns it, you know, she just absolutely owns it and kills it, and it's just one of those amazing vocal performances. Her name is Sarita Wright, and it just blows your mind, and just that low kind of piano rumble as well, everything just works so well. I love when Stevie comes in on the backing vocals as well, halfway through the song. Now, this next song, I've got something completely wild and completely different. I was inspired to play this track by my fellow Progzilla co-host, Graham Halfleet, who is a particular fan of Ivor Cutler, somebody I'd never heard of before, but each week on his show, Graham plays an Ivor Cutler track, and we all tease him about playing Ivor Cutler. I mean, even though I don't really know much about Ivor Cutler, we all tease him about it, saying, oh, his music's terrible and it's so weird and stuff. But I thought, you know what, in tribute to Graham, I am going to play something totally off the wall and totally different. Now, cast your minds back to, I don't know really, I guess about 5 or 6 years ago, and I was just kind of scrolling through YouTube, and there was this thumbnail of a man with a bright blue face with black lipstick on, with a balding hairdo that was like spiked up, and in a giant box-shaped jacket with like a bow tie on the front, and I thought, what on earth is this? And I clicked on it, and it only got even weirder. It turned out what I was seeing was legendary cult artist Klaus Nomi, who was born in Germany and moved to New York in the 60s and came up there in the early 70s. And he was kind of a singer with a gift for opera, I guess. And basically, throughout the 70s, he did a bunch of performances, and people couldn't believe his voice when they heard him. And eventually, he got a band together. He released a couple of albums, which are kind of like operatic new wave, if that was such a thing. But in 1981, he was captured for a music film called Erg, A Music War, and it was basically a document of all the new wave bands at the time filming them do a song in live concert and then broadcasting it in a film, and that's where this piece of footage was from, and it's what most people know him for. Now, unfortunately, Klaus Nomi was one of the first ever kind of big music stars to die of AIDS. He passed away of AIDS in 1983, believe it or not. Not many people kind of knew much about the condition then. It was still kind of very kept under wraps. It was still a kind of secretive thing, but his music is absolutely fantastic, and what I'm about to play for you next is the audio from that legendary clip from the soundtrack of Erg, A Music War. This is Klaus Nomi's Total Eclipse, live in 1981.
Oh!
I just absolutely love that. It's so different, but I was just kind of, I guess I was drawn to it straight away, like as soon as I heard it. It just kind of, it just blew my mind, his operatic range. And it's a great, the band are on fire in that clip. The studio version is just a bunch of session musicians, and not to discredit what they do, but they're just not feeling it at all. Neither is Klaus, to be fair, on the studio version. He kind of sounds so restrained, and it's just, but that live version is just so over the top and so ridiculous that it's just so special. It's such a good song. The bass playing on that is phenomenal, as is the drumming. You can tell they're just absolutely loving it. It's the song, in a way, is a product of its time, in the sense that it's about, you know, kind of the Cold War and the fear that we could be blown up with a nuclear bomb at any minute. But it's just so great. And when you watch the clip and you see the visuals of it as well, it's just such a great performance. So yes, that one is dedicated to Graham Harfleet for his dedication with promoting Ivor Cutler's music. I thought I would do something similar for Klaus Nomi. This next song's a really fun one that a friend turned me onto a while back. This is The Bells of Berlin by Lone Star.
Imagine the sadness the city has.
I love how crazy that one is, and of course I love the Moog solos and all that good prog goodness scattered throughout that song. We're now unfortunately nearing the end of this show, and I'd like to close now with a little bit of live Alan Holdsworth from his 2003 live album Then. It was actually recorded in the mid-90s in Japan. His band is on fire at this point. This is White Line live by Alan Holdsworth. Thank you all for listening. I hope you have a good week. Goodbye.